Hey, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Yisai. We are in Shari Tshuva, Shar Beis, Ois Yud Gimel, where in the Rabbeinu Yonah is laying out for us the prompts, the signals, if you will, that we're supposed to pick up on, to be attuned to in life, to inspire us to tshuva. To tshuva, to fix what has to be fixed, to improve what has to be improved. In other words, to get our lives onto the right track, onto the optimal track. If our lives are on a good track, it's a prompt to get it onto an even better track. As long as we're alive, we have the opportunity to make more and more out of our lives. So number four is, we began saying this yesterday. Number four is, kasher. Sorry, give me a moment. Okay. Kasher. When a person learns Torah, and more specifically, learning Nach. Learning Nach is meant to be something that should jolt us to perform at a higher level. It should enhance our standards. It should enhance our understanding of the very great standards that Hashem has for the Jewish people, what they can achieve and what Hashem expects of them. A person should appreciate the beauty of the Musar contained in Tanakh, and to see how Hashem's retribution can be very exacting. Then should take the things very to heart and get a jolt. And it should lead him to improve, to enhance his ways, and to get even closer to Hashem. It's like the pasuk says, Hashem's, who do I look at favorably? Hashem says, El ani ruach, to a poor, humbled person, who feels trepidation at my word. Meaning, when you're learning the Navi, Rabbeinu Yonah is giving an interesting taich here. Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, when you're learning the Navi, you're learning the word of Hashem. You're learning the Nevuah, the live Nevuah. And you get a trepidation from it. So, as we started saying yesterday, we're in Shar Beis Ois Yud Gimel, the middle of Ois Yud Gimel. As we started saying yesterday, Rabbi Nien is laying down the approach to learning Tanakh. Learn Tanakh, we have to remember that the Navi was not a historian. There were historians. In the time of Tanakh, history was being recorded by Jewish history writers at the time. You see all throughout Tanakh, you see references, particularly in Sefer Malachim. You see references to the writers of the Divrei Hayamim of those times. So Tanakh is not there. We didn't need the Navi to come and record history for us. Tanakh is giving perspectives that are meant to carry significance for all the future generations. And therefore, like we said, if a person is just getting stories out of Tanakh, he's touching the very surface level of it. Then people, even worse, like we said, people will sometimes approach it with an attitude of, now what do I think of this character in Tanakh? What do I think of that character in Tanakh? We come from a place of, we've never heard these criticisms. We've never heard admonitions from a Navi, and therefore, we sometimes think we're in a better place than they were. But the truth is, when a person is learning Tanakh in the correct way, the guided way, the admonitions of Tanakh and the stories of Tanakh bring home points in a very profound way. If we really understand what was behind the admonitions against Avodah Zarah, we can also understand how they're relevant to our lives also. The demand to stand against the tides, etc. The demand to be operating on a much higher standard and a much higher plane than the world around us. Tanakh is a very, very enriching and powerful Musar Sefer. And as he's telling us here, that's really what it's meant to be. So, okay. We'll move on. As I said, I want to move from one to the next now so we can cover them all. He brings a few more psukim to this effect. And now we move on to the next prompt, the next signal. I should say a little more than that. Really, Tanakh, if we can manage to connect to it right, it introduces us really to the grandeur of what Yiddishkeit really is. We are growing up, as we've discussed when we talked about the Bein HaMetzarim, the 9 days, Tisha B'Av, we're growing up with a very, very faint version of what Yiddishkeit was really meant to be. The full richness, the full grandeur of the reality that Hashem intended for His people can be gleaned from learning Tanakh in the right way, from understanding what the Nevi'im were really conveying, what sort of atmosphere they were living with then. And to understand that we don't have Nevi'im today because we wouldn't be able to handle it. Nevi'im, it was very tough to live with Nevi'im, right? Now, living without Nevi'im, we might look back and see the Nevi'im admonishing them and think, oh, what terrible people they must have been. But the Nevi'im were very, very tough. It was very tough to live with the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im were constantly driving the people to higher and higher standards. And that's why they were a very superlatively great people in those times. You have to understand that all of the criticism of the Navi, if you just read it very, very face value, it looks like, oh, the Jewish people were just a nation of troublemakers, which is very far from the truth. It's very far from the truth. The function of the Nevi'im, well, there was never a time that Hashem had nachas from His people. Hashem, if so, you think that Hashem had it didn't have the right judgment when He was choosing a people, right? He chose a people that He would never manage to get anywhere right with all the time the Nevi'im are criticizing. What's the understanding? The understanding is the other way around. The understanding is that the function of the Nevi'im was to criticize. It was to find fault, because Hashem knew the levels of perfection and excellence that he can expect of His people. And therefore, the Nevi'im, they were constantly scrutinizing the people for faults, and they blew them up. They blew them up. They stated them in much bigger terms than they really were, for the purpose of, it's like the Gra says, that when a kala is preparing to go to her wedding, so she doesn't want to just be told, oh, you look great, don't worry about it. No, no. She goes to the mirror to look closely, and she takes a magnifying glass, and she's looking to find any speck. And she wants, if she has any friends there with her, if she has relatives there with her, when she's busy preparing for the wedding, she doesn't want them to say, oh, honey, you look fine. She wants them to say, oh, there's a little dot over there. And there's a little dot over there. She takes a magnifying glass and she scrubs. This was the function of the Nevi'im. And in the earlier days, the Jews grew immensely from it. As time went on, and the level started deteriorating, it became much more difficult for them to live with the criticisms of the Navi. It was relentless. People weren't given slack. And it was much more difficult to live with the criticisms of the Navi. They began resenting the Navi. You have to appreciate the phenomenon of a monarch, David HaMelech. There was no such thing as a person telling off a monarch in those days. All monarchs were hearing were their praises, and everybody was head over heels to outdo each other in singing the praises of the monarch. That a Navi can come and openly admonish a monarch, and yet the king allows it to actually be publicly recorded, is such a testament to the greatness of the people of that time. The model of David HaMelech. As time went on, it became much harder for them to tolerate the admonitions of the Navi. Toward the end, right, Yirmiyahu is being persecuted for his nevuahs that the people didn't want to hear. And that's why, with time, nevuah waned until it stopped. So nevuah was there for the purpose of polishing a great people. That's a big principle that has to be understood. Nevuah was there for the purpose of polishing a great people and making them shine even more. If you look and you tell me, what do you mean? It says such terrible things that they were doing. You have to appreciate, yeah, that was the style of the Navi. So just one example as a case in point from which you can extrapolate to the others is where it says about, remember in the story of Yeshua, where they said that nobody should take from the spoils of Yericho. When Yeshua conquered Yericho, he said that nobody should take from the spoils. Right? And one man did, Achan, right? He did so secretly. For any nation, that is something to be very proud of. None of the soldiers touched the spoils except one man, right? But how does Hashem express that? Chata Yisrael, Gamal umal. Gam kichashu gam shikeru gam somo beklaim. Israel, the Jewish people have sinned. They've betrayed, right? They're liars. That's the style of the Navi. So we come back to the point. Rabbeinu Yehuda says we learn Navi for the purpose of trying to connect to the standards, to connect to the demands, the expectations, the criticisms, in order to try to drive ourselves to those levels. Okay. Further, Haderech Hahei said that there were six prompts, six signals to get your life onto a better track. Here's what's coming up. Aseret Simei Tshuva. Aseret Simei Tshuva. Hayore es Dvar Hashem. A person who fears the word of Hashem, meaning he takes the word of Hashem seriously. You realize that it's a real business. Liba yochil mikirba. His heart should tremble. If you really, really picture in a real way how your whole year is being scrutinized. Now, if you don't remember your year, it's hard to appreciate that. And therefore, it's connected to actually sit down and try to review a bit and to consider the fact that everything, all the different things I've said to my wife, all the different things that I've done, the different ways I've expressed myself to different people, the different thoughts that I had, everything is being scrutinized right now. And it's being inscribed. And it's at that time that Alikim Yavi Bemishpat is Kolmase Al Kolnelam Im Toivim Ra. That Hashem is taking a record of every last thing that we did, good or bad. Our good things are being noted also. And Hashem is getting nachas from them now, and they are being chalked up to our credit. Man is judged on Rosh Hashanah, but the process extends through the Aseret Simei Tshuva and is sealed on Yom Kippur. When a man knows that his case is being brought before a mortal king, he'll tremble greatly. He'll try to find whatever means he has to get out of this okay. And okay, I'm skipping a few lines where Rabbi Yehuda just says how he'll take out time from work. He's not going to be busy going about his regular schedule. He's going to be busy planning a defense. So therefore, he says, "Lachen." I'm skipping a few lines. How silly is it that people are going about business as usual, the full schedule as usual, during the Yom Nerayim, at the time when they're being judged, without knowing how their judgment is going to come out. Now, just the thing to understand is that Hashem set it up this way for our benefit. Hashem wants us to have this Yom Hadin once a year so that we have a chance to wake up. That's the chesed of it. Hashem doesn't just wait for 120 to catch up with us. Hashem says there's going to be a Yom Hadin every year so that you remember to make these efforts to get your life back on track. But more than that, Hashem is saying, yes, I'm going to judge you every year, but I'm also going to offer you all the etzos and all the aid you need to get as favorable a judgment as you can. This is something that we should elaborate on. We will. But this is Hashem on the one hand coming as a judge, but on the other hand giving us a wink under the table and saying, I'm going to provide you with all the aids you need to get the most favorable judgment. Because on the one hand, I'm operating as a judge now. At the same time, behind the scenes, I'm your father. And I want to provide you with the means to do as well as possible. Thus, we have to be aware of that. And make sure to apply ourselves to take advantage of it. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight.